This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS and KMOX. Happy Tuesday. Feels like a Thursday, right?
Mm-hmm. I thought it was this morning.
Oh.
Like, I thought...
It's kind of a Thursday.
But it is, right, because I kept thinking... I was like, oh, man, the weekend is... It's not tomorrow, but it's the next day. And then I thought, well, wait, it's Tuesday. And I just felt it's very Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is, basically.
We can take it.
Yeah, it's basically Thursday.
Thursday's fine.
Yeah.
We can do a Thursday. And tomorrow's like... It's a real blow-off Friday.
Right? Yeah. You can mail it in.
Yeah. It is field trip day.
Tonight, go home, make your cookies, lower your expectations for the DGS. Just know that.
I think we should not even prep at all. Just wing it tomorrow.
That would be
different, wouldn't it?
That would...
What I'm saying
We're
is, I'm
usually
not gonna,
completely prepared.
Not going to study the history of tariffs like let's I did go, last night.
Let's go off script. No, I don't think we can handle that.
So you guys do nothing, and I will study tariffs tonight. That way, we'll kind of even out.
Yeah,
we'll be ready for at least one topic tomorrow.
If you don't open the show with Smoot Hawley, I don't want to hear it.
Smoot Hawley. I haven't heard that in a long time.
In sixth grade, probably.
Yeah, that's funny. Isn't that weird? That was in my brain somewhere. You just like tickled a neuron that was like. The Smoot Hawley was lying there in its own urine, and it's like, Smoot Hawley, that's me.
This is my big moment.
Is that a guy?
It's an old tariff from like 100 years ago.
Mister.
It was one of the bigger tariffs.
Smoot Hawley.
He was a ball
father.
Player in the 20s.
Call me Smoot.
And now at shortstop, Smoot Hawley.
Sounds like it.
This guy can't bat for crap, but he's really into tariffs. He's got something going on. So are you missing your boys? It's so quiet back there. Wheeler and Ron's both gone.
It's been amazing. It's so calm. It's so quiet. I haven't flinched. It's a bastion of productivity. And serenity.
Even the two of you?
Yeah, Amy and I get along so much.
You found out the problem.
It's so much smoother
we're
when
so
Chris
nice
isn't
to
here.
Each other.
Yeah,
yeah,
we're like, we say very nice things, and we're like, I appreciate your help. Thank you so much for doing that for me. Like, we talk to each other like humans.
Because most mornings are pretty...
Because normally it's Chris back there, and he's like, hey, don't you think Andrew looks like a big dumb moron today? Don't you think Amy looks stupid also?
You're right.
Like, and he's like, he tries to get in the middle and pit everybody against each other.
Yeah. No, it's been great. And Andrew, actually, that was like verbatim. He was so kind. He's like, would you like any help today? Because like yesterday, right? Like, oh, where's Ron? And blah, blah. Would you like any help? I'm like, oh, no, thank you very much. Thank you for offering. Well, thank
like
you.
Like Chip and Dale.
Yeah.
It's so
you're
nice.
Like that Smoot Hawley guy.
we were Smoot Hawley.
That was a regular Smoot Hawley back there.
Let's start calling Josh Hawley Schmoot.
Is that Schmoot Hawley?
He's going to be.
He looks
I
more
have
like a
less
schmoot.
Than no idea what you guys are talking
really?
About with the Smoot Hawley.
Oh, it's something we learned back in like grade
it's
school.
The first tariff you learn about.
Maybe I just didn't learn about any tariff.
What was your first tariff?
I didn't learn about.
I don't know.
I didn't learn about a single tariff.
That one never stuck with me.
You never got to a second?
No, whatever, like
you're like,
Wheeler,
wait, is this tariffs? Am I about to learn my first tariff?
Whenever Wheeler is like back in the office and he's getting all amped up about something, and he's like, Donald Trump doesn't even understand the meaning of tariffs. I'm always like, yeah, man.
Yeah, that idiot.
Who doesn't know about tariffs? I couldn't begin to tell you the first.
Who doesn't come out of grade school knowing Smoot Hawley? It's funny how you take in information and synthesize it even when you try not to.
Yeah.
Like I was in grade school, the filter was not open. I was not looking for more knowledge.
But now, okay, if I were, I have to admit, I loved learning. I loved school. But let's say if you were 10 years old with your filter closed, you are going to learn more than you will at 40 with the filter open. That's how I feel.
Really?
Feel like I have to work so hard.
Oh, I kind of feel the opposite. I almost feel like, you know, when these days you don't teach kids how to read the hands on a clock.
Yeah.
But if back when you were, and it was a struggle, and you're working with your 3-year-old, and they're just not getting it, and they're crying, like, wait till they're 12. And then they'll learn it real quick. So, like, don't teach anything until the kid's about 20. And then you can be like, okay, U.S. history. And you could probably spend, like, a week, and they would learn as much as they did the whole time. Mm. You feel me? Mm-hmm. They'll be dumb as a bag of hair up until then, but I mean...
I feel like my retention is down when I want to remember things. And I know as a kid, I'm like, man, I used to be able to read this paragraph.
Really regurgitate it.
And just, I could spit it back out. And now I'm like, I kind of remember it. And also, did I water the plant? And did I pay my taxes? And do I need to return text? I feel like there's so much more competition. My brain's just whatever it is.
Yeah, it's weird having this job because at this point, I'm interested in other things, but I don't have to be. Mm-hmm. This is the only thing I have to really take an interest in and make sure I show up for it every day. And it's such a weird job. And I'm sitting around on my couch at night, just in the zone, in the zone watching TV, and some weird thought will hit me. And I'm like, I'm going to write that down. Like, it's like there's doctors last night who made sure they got enough sleep to like take someone's spine out. Mm-hmm. And I'm just sitting around waiting for something marginally humorous, you know? It's weird how jobs work. It's just weird how you become that thing. Mm. It's weird.
It's weird.
Mm. Man, I'm still in vacation mode. Mm-hmm. It's only a 4-day, but it feels longer, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Like just saying Thanksgiving holiday makes it seem longer somehow.
That's because we're going to start tomorrow.
That could be. Yeah, everyone does. Yeah. It's Thanksgiving.
It is Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I can't believe we don't get off for Thanksgiving.
Right?
Like, we should not. Why are we working?
Yeah, well, you'd think Charlie would have worked that out with the union.
It's a company holiday. No, it's not a union holiday. That's the problem. So,
oh, there will be less than no one here tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which, you know.
Yeah, there was a good showing today.
Yeah. I noticed that. Yeah. Hello. Hello. I'm in sales. I'm at my desk.
A lot of making themselves seen.
Just want you to know.
They're probably listening in sales right now like, "Hey."
Damn it, Glover. We don't want to be perceived like that.
But we do want to be perceived.
But today we want to be perceived.
However, if you could see us and talk about how we're here, that would be great.
Boy, I wish Wheeler and Ronji were here. There's a new, in quotes, dirty Christmas movie, The Merry Gentlemen. Have you seen this one?
No.
I'm about to.
Is it like Dirty Rotten Scoundrels?
It's dirty in a different way. I think, I don't know this for sure, but I think it is a...
Oh, strippers.
Yes. Less campy than Frosty. Hot Frosty, but it's like a bunch of Chippendales kind of thing.
Yeah, to save her parents' small town nightclub, a Broadway dancer stages an all male Christmas review and meets a guy with all the right moves. Starring Chad Michael Murray.
Oh,
who's that?
Nice. One Tree Hill.
Was in One Tree Hill. And
he's different than Hot Frosty, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was in Dawson's
Different
Creek.
Human.
He was like your quintessential, like around the year 2000, he was like your quintessential, like teen heartthrob.
So he's pretty old now.
He's 43.
Okay.
I'm a little too close to 43 to call that old, unfortunately.
Well, for a stripper.
How old are the Chippendales?
Well, yeah, that's true.
I'm going to say 20s. You probably got some OGs in there that are in their 30s.
Okay, this is a dumb question, but because they are the Chippendales and I grew up watching Chip and Dale, do they have anything to do with each other?
I have always wondered that, and I don't think they do.
Boy, if they do, it would be really interesting.
I don't think the chipmunks are involved in the stripping.
Which came first?
The strippers are really polite to each other. No, you go. No, please, after you.
Is it Chip and Dale? Did they come first, like the show, or did the Chip and Dale?
Well, Chip and Dale.
Yes, Rescue Rangers.
Were a thing in like the 50s for Disney. And Chip and Dale's, I don't think, started until the 60s or 70s. Okay. So,
Chip and Dale.
That's wrong.
First.
They shouldn't have named it that.
I know.
That's wrong.
Because Chip and Dale, Rescue Rangers.
Oh, there was a song. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. When there's danger.
I only know that from the strippers.
I'm going to look up, are they named after...
I hope not.
Are Chip and Dale named after the strippers?
Now the show's just Googling.
The person who was coming up with the Chip and Dales was like, what's the sexiest thing you can think of that we can affiliate ourselves with? Maybe those two squirrels?
Say hello to the Bugs Bunnies.
Or what are they, chipmunks?
Should have been the Bloomingdale's.
Okay, both. It looks like both of the, both of them are named after the same thing, which is Thomas Chippendale, a famous 18th century furniture designer.
Okay, I've heard of that.
And they are both named after that.
Do you know why?
Why are the strippers named after the furniture designer?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
That's a good question. Allow me to
Yeah, you'd have thought Disney would have even sued when they came out with strippers named Chippendales.
Why is the brand so confusing?
You know, it's like being like, I know the stripper's Ethan Allen. Whose name? It's a furniture store.
Ethan Allen could be the lead for the Chippendales.
Well, I think the furniture store was named after a Revolutionary War hero.
Yes, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yes, much like...
Chippendales.
The Chippendales.
Why are we naming furniture like this? Yeah, okay, so the dancers are named after the furniture because that is supposedly a name synonymous with luxury. So you're supposed to think high-end.
Really?
Oh. Well, they do wear those little ties, don't they? The bow ties?
They're very classy.
They are classy.
I mean, very classy.
They don't wear much, but I think they do wear the
Everything
little ties.
Everything that they do wear is formal attire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, they're the cream of the crop, right?
I have no idea.
I don't, honestly, I don't know that much about
it. Is it still a thing?
I don't know that much.
I think they are.
It is a thing, yeah, but I don't know that much about the tiers.
So like in St. Louis, you know, Amy's getting married.
They keep rejecting my audition.
We could take her to a male strip place.
I don't think so, because I think it's like, is it the Roxettes? What's their name?
Roxettes.
Roxettes. Do you think it's hard to be a Chippendale? Like it's difficult to be a Roxette?
Oh, yeah. Maybe harder.
And there are no Rockettes here. You can't take me to see the Rockettes on the east side. The
I think they are. I think they have like residencies at various.
No, I just meant strippers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't expect there to be a Chippendales in Belleville.
So I Googled, are Chippendales the cream of the crop? And the AI overview says that, yes, they are considered the cream of the crop in the male review industry.
And I Googled St. Louis male strippers, and yeah, I found some.
And they're on their way. And, well, just in time for Skanksgiving.
They are.
Is it formal attire?
Screeching into the parking lot as we speak, kicking up dust everywhere.
They wear mock turtlenecks.
I love a good turtleneck.
Oh, I do too. I was big on them when I was a kid. Big on turtlenecks.
I still have so many. I love turtlenecks. Yeah, that's what, when I my first date with Mason Jar. When I went there, I had two separate people text me because I said, "All right,
you say two turtlenecks."
Two turtlenecks, no, and they said, "Don't wear a turtleneck and don't wear a blazer." Two people texted me that.
Really? Because they know you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you heed their advice?
I did, and it made it so much harder to get dressed because I'm like, well, now what?
That
do I
really cuts you down.
So I wore the turtleneck on the second date and the blazer on the third date. Yep.
Does he know this?
Yeah.
Have you shared this with him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because I've been wearing a lot of turtlenecks. I mean, by the second date, I had the turtleneck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. Well, if anyone has a bachelorette party, you can just email Andrew because he has thoroughly Googled St. Louis's best.
I found him.
You sure did. A little more than you should have, right?
Yeah, I clicked on the most interesting looking one because, you know, I'm all about personality.
Yeah.
I was going to say, how did you ascertain that?
It's not about the looks for me. It's about the personality. It was like, oh, this one likes puppies. This one.
This and one. So.
This it.
He's an emotional stripper. He just keeps letting you. He keeps saying more and more about his past.
Yeah.
And the deep, dark secrets.
This one looks like a valid.
I shouldn't go here, but let me just tell you something.
Stop it.
This one looks like he'll give me the validation I crave. And so I was looking down, and yeah, they give away a lot on the website. It's like, well.
Do they?
Yeah.
Of the product?
It's like, come on. I mean, you know,
you got to know what you're buying.
Why buy the cow? You know what I mean?
Well.
You're not buying the cow, you're renting the cow.
Now, you're just looking at the cow.
Why rent the cow if they're giving you the milk for free? You know what I mean?
Okay.
Well, yeah, at least some
like
of that.
Just going
in your
mind. To the zoo.
Just let it lie. Going to the zoo.
Amy thinks I'm talking about an actual cow.
It's like, well, it would make good sense to just take that milk then, wouldn't it?
Uh-huh.
Is there a less flattering turn of phrase than why buy the cow if you can get the milk for free? Like, the whole thing is just like, why would we ever say that under any circumstances?
Right. When did someone
just, like,
say
people
it?
People just say it like, why buy the goat?
When did someone say it? And everyone went, what? Boy, you
we
nailed it.
We all know what you're getting at.
You nailed it, Ned.
What an astute observation.
Yeah, there's got to be a more delicate way to put
it. Right,
right. As long as I keep getting that milk, no, I see no reason to buy that damn cow.
As soon as I said that, I was like, woof, that is...
Yeah, you're the master of a old, insensitive old guy terms.
He loves to turn an agrarian phrase.
Yes, he does. if it was first said during the era of McCarthyism, Andrew's on it.
That was older than Smoot Hawley.
I wanted so badly to get in on the Smoot Hawley bit, but I'm like, I don't know.
Protectionism. Yeah.
I love that we're,
don't know the angle.
We're Googling everything there is to know about St. Louis male strippers, but Smoot Hawley, we're like, oh, I can't Google that. But.
I did Google it and was still like, this is too much reading.
Tariffs, the number one headline on CNN right now, and I'm like, I don't want to learn about tariffs.
Well, you're about to.
Show me the hotties.
Either way.
Every time you say tariffs, I think of the Monty Python when he's like, mowage. I'm like, tariffs.
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 Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me make a play for some volunteers in NOTA. Last night we had a NOTA vigil for one of my patients who just went downhill really, really quickly. And I found out that even more people from the DGS have signed up.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Wow.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's
yeah.
Great.
The family who I was sitting with, who I know now because she's my patient, and they're saying the last two people that sat with her were from the DGS.
Wow.
And I didn't even know about them. So it's really, really cool.
You're doing some good work,
Dave. We have the best listeners.
Do we have that click-through still up there? I don't know how it works.
The click.
You know where we put it up there at one point where if you wanted to volunteer.
Oh, yeah, that's on the DGS Facebook page.
Is it hard to find?
No, but I can reshare it over there right now.
Let's do that.
Yeah, that'll put it right.
And then thank you to Noelle, whose family made my mom, Grandma Glover's cookies and posted the picture. And then other people were saying they're going to make them. I cannot tell you how cool my mom would think that is.
Yeah.
But she loved the credit. she loved the sweet nectar of credit. So just know that we have some really, really funny male stripper jokes, but we just can't tell them. Just know that. Just know that we're cracking each other up on the breaks.
It's some of our best material.
It's some of the best stuff.
In weeks.
That's why we should be a podcast, purely a podcast. Actual question. Let's do something somewhat intelligent. I see that Walmart has said that they're going to roll back all of their DEI stuff, all of their diversity inclusion stuff because of just backlash toward it. We know that the Trump administration is not friendly to that. They ran based on no more, you know, DEI, no more affirmative action, no more anything like that. Do you guys think that this will have a true effect on society, or is it strong enough now and rolling downhill enough now that you really can't stop it as far as DEI goes?
If
that question makes sense.
You mean DEI is too strong to stop?
Yes. Like, is it, like, for example, I was watching the Sunday shows and I saw two different shows where two different conservatives said, hey, I'm not in favor of gay marriage, but the horse is out of the barn. There's no stopping that. There's no bringing that back. That's the law of the land. Do you think it's similar for DEI now that we've had this movement going for several years pretty strongly? Or do you think they could really kind of stop it in its tracks?
I mean, I don't really think of it in those terms. I get what you're asking, but when it comes to diversity, I know that equity is the part that most people like stick on and have a problem with. But diversity and inclusion, like, what are we trying to stop when it comes to that sort of thing? I hope that it's on a roll and it's going to be commonplace to see people from all different backgrounds occupying different positions.
I apologize if this is an unfair question because I didn't prep you for this and I wouldn't know, but what does equity mean to you guys? How do you define it when you think of it? It doesn't have to be a fancy definition.
The definition that I know it to be, I could be wrong, but that means like lifting everyone up to get the same results, which I get why people have a problem with that. I could be wrong in my definition.
No, just I'm more curious in what in your head it is.
In my head, it's we want to try to get the same results for everyone, which I think it's fair to have to take issue with that. Equality is everyone should be treated equally and given the same opportunity.
So the way to think of it too, because I think you're right with the definition is if think of life as a 5K, equality is everyone starts on the start line at the same time. Equity is everyone crosses the finish line at the same time.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
That is kind of that view. I would say this, like with diversity, equity, inclusion. I mean, obviously the ideas. When you say it out loud about like wanting to be inclusive to all people and to be sensitive to where people are coming from, to be sensitive and cognizant of past prejudices. I mean, what was it? 345 years of legalized racism. The consequences of that you can't erase in the 60 plus years since the civil rights. That's a very real reality. And there are consequences still today, not only in attitudes, whether it's prejudiced attitudes, racist attitudes, maybe resentment, maybe anger, maybe hurt, right? All of these things that stem from that, but also very real economic issues. It was quite literally illegal for Black people to have property and money in the same way that white people could have. So there's that generational wealth isn't there. There were a lot of highways that and roads that wealthier white neighborhoods said, no, you can't put that ugly road through our neighborhood. So it went through poor neighborhoods. So those are all real consequences that I think we need to acknowledge. What happened with some of the DEI people who maybe really went to the top of big corporate organizations or government organizations. And you guys can say if you disagree. I think some people definitely exploited the DEI message. Like I disagree with an Ibram X. Kendi who says, the only way to fix past prejudice and discrimination is with current prejudice and discrimination. Or the white fragility author Robin DiAngelo saying, we have to apologize for white collective guilt. I don't agree with that. And I do know there are some corporations where they are having white employees, apologize or say, I realize that I'm racist and I don't realize it, where I would feel very uncomfortable with that. I also know from friends' schools, they have the kids mark down like privilege points. So if you're Asian, you get like a little bit of a privilege point or a point. And then if you're Black, it's different than if you're white and so forth. And even in Wisconsin, a friend of mine, they were saying, OK, in DEI, the consultant came in and said for history classes, we need to separate Black students and white students. Now, eventually the school pushed back. The parent said, that's not a good idea. So it gets abused. Whereas I that's what I think when we're talking about some of the DEI that's happening in government organizations or in corporations, mm-hmm. that crosses a line. But I would say, because that's not how most Americans think. If you are a working class or a poor white American, you have more in common with a working class or poor Black American than you do with a wealthy white American. And it's the same thing no matter what your race is, as far as your everyday life. But then when it comes to history, it's also acknowledging a lot of people struggled because our laws quite literally held them down.
Yeah, I remember my roommate for years and years in law school and afterwards, Ricky was a African-American, and we got along famously. But one time we had an argument about affirmative action. Mm-hmm. And I was very 1992 about it and very like, and I remember him saying, like, if you've been carrying a big log the entire race, you can't just take the log away. You need to carry a log for a while till I catch up with you, which is sort of like the first thing that you're talking about that author saying, which I understand the logic of that. The only way to correct past prejudice is now to prejudice another group. Like, okay, you were in the front seat for a really long time. You're going to take the back seat until we get some semblance of being equal, which I think is really, in a nutshell, what MAGA has been pushing back against. It is that the white people do not want to be in the back seat for even one leg of the journey.
And which is crazy because I would say kind of in the elite circles, they talk so much about race, but really in a lot of real world situations at the grocery store, at school, at church, it kind of comes down to class. And this was, what we saw was more of a class election. I would say, if anything, Republicans kind of pushed against that leaning into identity politics, focused more on class. I think the Democrats leaned more into identity politics, didn't realize that even certain language, like when they're like, well, settler colonialism, that's a certain class language. That's an academic class language. That's an elite class language, to use phrases like that, which kind of alienates, I think, most Americans. But I would say this about affirmative action, because when it was first overturned or ended, I was torn in both ways, because affirmative action was always supposed to be sunsetted. It was always supposed to have an ending date. I feel like now with affirmative action, it should be focused on income level, right? And if you are in lower income, underserved schools, underprivileged schools, then you can look and say, okay, this guy went through this school, this system.
You see what MIT just did? The tuition's free for anyone who makes less than $200,000.
Yeah. But even like getting in, if you're going to have any type of affirmative action, take into account perhaps where a kid came from. And in some ways, that will help communities, especially, you know, like if minority communities have been underserved in a specific area, it's still helping them. But it's not just straight up on skin color, because you could, with race-based affirmative action, you could have a wealthy Ethiopian who, you know, or Kenyan, which was happening, right? And that counts. That's not helping us. But, it would also help the country, you know, if it's a rural white kid or, you know, rural black kid, whoever. If it's someone who's from an underprivileged area, I do think that could be helpful.
It's when we miss Wheeler fighting with Amy, you're doing the whole, like, so what you think is...
if you're poor, you get to go to college.
So if you think that, you must think this. Rich had laughed last night when we were watching the pardoning of the turkeys together yesterday in the office.
Yeah.
You know, and Biden was all like, peach and blossom and peach and blossom. If suddenly he'd have been like, and Hunter, of course, and peach. And like, would that have been awesome?
Yeah. Someone just him in there.
He's just standing in the background. You're all pardoned.
Is that official? I think so.
I think he just pardoned Hunter along with the turkeys.
Someone goes,
many have called my son a turkey. And rightly so. But does he not deserve to be pardoned as well?
The turkeys, by accepting the pardon, admitted their guilt.
Admitted their guilt. We are delicious.
These turkeys should be pardoned with time served.
This is on us. Hunter's just there in like a turkey outfit.
That actually, I think the country would have loved it.
Be pretty great.
If he had the turkey outfit on.
Yes.
It's like, remember how they said the thing with Trump? It's like, he's the right mix. It was the Daily Show said he's the right mix of funny and scary. And mm-hmm. whenever he's scary, he's just funny enough. I think if Hunter had the turkey outfit on, I think he would hit that ratio.
I think so. it's funny enough.
That's clever.
It's weird enough. And if someone just like, I can't believe he pardoned his son, like, he was dressed like a turkey.
What was he supposed to do?
Yeah.
Ignore him?
He was with Peach and Blossom.
Yeah, it would be rude to ignore him.
Did you know they were named Peach and Blossom because a peach blossom is Delaware's state flower? And that's Biden's home state.
I see.
So that's why they decided to name them.
He gave a pretty long speech about it.
Right? He did.
Like, leading
and
up.
He was like, and it's,
oh, really?
And he always, like, recently, a lot of times it's his last time speaking, you know, he was saying, like, this is the last time I'll speak to you before the holidays, so just so you know, it's been the honor of my life to serve. And I was thinking about him, like, that is so nice. I've no doubt that it is the honor of his life to serve as our president, but how many times are you going to say that in a speech in the next, like, 2 months? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, at what point is it like, oh, yeah, we've heard this
I
already.
Feel like he looks...
Need I remind you?
He looks way older now, and if someone here said, do you think he stopped trying to look young once he was no longer the candidate?
For sure.
Like, he's just not trying as hard?
Yeah, I think for sure.
I think he looks older again.
And you wonder, because it's very famous that you see, like, Obama looking very youthful, and then after his 8 years, his hair is gray. Like every president, you can see this. I mean, they're all middle-aged people in their, you know, 8 years of a lot of stress. You wonder whether Joe will just drop off the table and just age 10 years in the next year, or if he'll come back a little bit because he's not under all that stress.
Yeah.
He can just go to the beach, drive his sweet Corvette.
I don't think he'll come back.
You don't think so?
No.
Hard to imagine him come back. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I was feeling kind of bad the other day, just thinking about all of, I mean, it's fair because he's the president of the United States and he was not coming across very youthful and he was saying, I'm going to run again, and everyone was, you know, frightened. So of course it's going to be a topic of conversation. But then you think of it from the human angle of like, he had to hear that at some point.
Yeah.
Jill heard that at some point. His family heard that at some point. Like, that stinks.
Yeah, we don't think of people, quote unquote, above us as being real people.
Right.
Or sometimes people will, quote unquote, below us.
And by no means am I saying like those conversations shouldn't have happened. Like, no, they needed to happen.
Yeah. You're the president.
I think it's totally valid, but it's still.
Still just a dude.
Yeah.
He's still just a guy.
I mean, I think we saw him react like that a few times, right? We did see him get upset with reporters when they would, you know, ask him, are you planning to run? Do you think you're too old? Because he was asked that, you know, directly. It wasn't just kind of, you know, media behind the scenes conversations happening. People asked him directly, like, do you think you're going to run? Do you think you're fit to run and all that? And he never reacted like, what are you talking about? I'm as good as can be. He reacted pretty, if I recall correctly, he reacted pretty angrily to those comments.
Yeah. Which you'd expect.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say I would react too much differently.
Do you think he'll be remembered well? Like, when he finally passes away, do you think it'll be a...
That is a really good question. I don't think he'll be remembered as a great president.
Really?
I do not think he will be remembered as a great president. I think he will be remembered as...
The left certainly says a good game.
Will be. Yeah, I think he'll be remembered really well.
Do you?
Yeah. I mean, right or wrong,
overall,
I'm just saying that's how I think he will be remembered well.